up, Pastor Chandler?
Hey, Pastor Tony, what's going on?
What in the world is going on?
It's a great question.
That is a great question. In fact, I'd like to hear from some of our listeners.
Yeah.
So that they could tell us what's going on.
What's going on in their
world. Yeah. Because that could be part of our world.
It is.
If we knew. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to just tell us what's going on in your world, drop us an email.
Seriously, drop us an email. The first email I get, there's something special for you.
Yeah, free subscription to the podcast.
Yeah, and Chandler, the first email you get?
Second free subscription to
Perfect.
The podcast.
Perfect.
All right, let's just go over some announcements here, some things that are going on at New Life. We have begun a new year. Happy New Year.
What? It's 2015, right?
That has passed. The old is gone. The new has come.
2016, here we come.
It's going to be, what a year it's going to be.
Sure is.
But also, we're in a new month, so we have a new memory verse as a church, Colossians 1:15-16, which says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So just encourage you to be memorizing that along with the church body. Anything to add about that?
It's a foundational verse.
Foundational.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's some Immerse news that we'd like to share. Immerse starts back up with family worship on January 6th. That's Wednesday night, January 6th at 6:30 at the building. Bible classes will resume on the 13th. Plan on being there on the 6th. You don't want to miss out. I was reading a thing in the newsletter. That's why it sounded so awkward.
Quote.
It was a quote.
Open quote, end quote.
Right. Let me just say that again. There will be a worship night January 6th. Classes will begin on the 13th. Also, we need a helper assistant for the first and second grade group. So if you're interested in helping out in that classroom, you can talk to myself, Pastor Chandler, or Kara Gilbertson. Also, we're looking for a helper in the 3- and 4-year-old class, not a teacher, just someone to assist the teacher.
This is a fantastic opportunity. If you've never served in children's ministry, this is a great opportunity to just see what it's like. You don't have to prepare anything. You're just showing up, and essentially you're helping the teacher take care of the class. So it's not as simple as babysitting, but it is not as daunting as teaching. So please, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. We need it. We cannot do the classes without the additional help. So, save the date on January 16th at 10:30 a.m. That's a Saturday morning. We'll have our New Life annual meeting.
Yes, and that is for the New Life partners. So if you're a New Life partner, please make sure that you're there. If you are not a New Life partner and are interested in learning more about partnership, please take a look at our website, and on it we explain what partnership is.
Yeah. The latest blog on the website is a post from the Elder Board about how to become a partner and what it means.
We've logged on the web a discussion of what partnership is, and we've titled it Blog. Our web log.
Is that what blog stands for, a web log?
That's correct.
Okay. You learn something new every day, Tony. Well,
yes.
On the podcast.
On this very podcast.
Especially concerning web grammar.
World Wide Web grammar.
And definitions and stuff.
We're going to call it grammar.
Grammar. All right, cool. So we need everyone, every partner, to be at the meeting Saturday the 16th at 10:30 a.m. We'll have some time of worship. We will vote on the budget, on some new... What do we call it?
The auditing committee. So the people that will take a look at 2015's budget, just to make sure that there's no shenanigans going on.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important. And we'll also be voting on a new financial secretary.
Yeah, so be there. Be heard.
Yeah, make yourself known.
And you'll get a sticker, right?
Yeah, I voted.
I voted.
Or it can just say, I vote. But it's really a time of worship to reflect on what God has done in 2015 and look forward to what God is going to do in 2016. So be there, if for no other reason than just to praise the Lord with us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also coming going down this week is January 7th. That's Thursday morning. There will be a men's Bible study on the book of Acts at 6:30 a.m. at the building, as well as a women's Bible study Thursday morning, January 7th. That's on the book of Hebrews at 9:30 a.m. at the building.
Men, we're picking up in chapter 20, so come ready.
Picking up in chapter 20. Not much to go.
No, it doesn't seem like we got too much further to go.
What's next after Acts?
Acts 21.
Acts 21. All right. Also on Thursday is our Grief Share ministry. It's at the building from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Grief Share is a ministry for those who are suffering the loss of a loved one. And so if you know anyone or yourself is grieving, this is a great time, a place for you to be.
This may be getting to you a bit late, but Wednesday the Grief Share is starting a brand new session for 13 weeks. So either this week or next week or the following week, it would be a good time to encourage someone to try it out, because this is their beginning of the session again. 12:30 on Wednesdays and then 6:30 on Thursdays, p.m.
Excellent. Anything else as far as announcements go that you can think of? Oh, on January 23rd, the high school ministry will embark on a study of doctrine. And by doctrine, we simply mean the tenets or the foundational truths of our Christian faith.
Yeah, if you are a partner of New Life, you have signed a document, our statement of faith, and this is what Pastor Chandler is going to be going through essentially with the high school students and outlining what New Life's convictions are regarding the inerrancy of Scripture, the doctrine of the virgin birth, the all-sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and these things. So it's really it's going to be a great course. I'm excited for our students, and I'd love to have as many students as possible sign up.
Yeah.
We have. But it is a commitment. You're going to invest time and energy, but it'll be worth it. And parents, this will be good for you as well as you talk with your students, your kids, about the class. It'll be a good learning time for the whole family.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Now, to move into our discussion on a doctrinal point,
these types of things are what will be discussed in the doctrines class.
In the doctrines class, yeah. We have talked in the past on the podcast, which is getting up there in age. We're several weeks in.
Yeah, I mean, in the tech world, this is getting to be an old thing.
Yeah, 14 weeks, 15 weeks old.
In dog years, it's like, I don't know, 20, which in human years is like 140.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's getting old.
But so far in this old podcast, we have studied or talked about Revelation, how God has revealed himself to his creation, and we spoke of general revelation, which is through creation, through the created world, and then we spoke about special revelation, about the Word and how God has revealed himself specially in the Word and specifically to the redeemed through the Holy Spirit and the Savior. The Word became flesh. But there's other points of revelation that we wanted to touch on, and one of those is the office of prophet. And what is prophecy, and how do we understand prophecy?
Yeah, in the church today, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Orthodox Church, wherever you look in the Christian world, I did air quotes just now, so I'm just letting
I it, saw it.
Yeah, Pastor Chandler saw it. In the Christian world, that was air quotes again.
Air quotes.
Chandler's leaning on his left elbow on a chair next to him, just to get you guys a picture. I have my elbow on the table, and we're really thinking hard right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just
think
with us. With that in mind, think the thinking man.
the thinking man.
The statue of the thinking man. Okay, so...
Is he wearing clothes?
This thinking man is, and that one is as well, and I'm guessing the one with earbuds in is as well.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And thinking woman. Yeah. What were we talking about? We're talking about special revelation, general revelation, and in the midst of special revelation is something that the Christian world today has misunderstood, and that is the office of prophet and what prophecy is. So we have a couple of items that would be helpful for us to understand first about prophecy and what a prophet is. And the first thing that we think of when we think of prophet is someone who tells the future. Well, this is true, and that's one of the things that prophets often do. That is not their role. Primarily their role is, as Chandler... why don't you tell them about this book and Carson's understanding?
Yeah, well, there's a very helpful resource, a book by D.A. Carson called Biblical Prophecy. And in there, using scripture very effectively, he explains that really the role of a prophet is to speak on behalf of God, especially in the New Testament, to speak according to the word into people's lives, grounded on the revelation that God has given us.
That's right. And I think it'd be helpful for us to understand that the concept of prophet has gone through some changes in history. It is someone fundamentally, throughout Scripture, someone who speaks for God and speaks God's words. However, some of the primary things that prophets did in the Old Testament was they were men and women who spoke warnings on behalf of God. So they would warn of God's judgment or impending doom.
We have a New Testament mind often because we're in that era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a good word?
Yeah.
Okay. But to really understand what the office of prophet is, we have to get into the Old Testament mindset.
Yeah, there is our greatest number of examples of who and what are prophets and prophecies. And large numbers of scripture books in our scripture is solid prophecy.
And then there's a transition that happens into the New Testament. So, what is going on in the Old Testament?
Well, in the Old Testament, the heart of the prophet is speaking on behalf of God, calling a warning of judgment, calling people to repentance, and often declaring of the coming day of the Lord, which would be the last days, the end time. They would always speak by the Holy Spirit. So we often think of the Holy Spirit as a New Testament thing. It is the means by which the Old Testament prophets knew the Word of God. And so it was always a word by the Spirit, and it was always supporting Scripture. Prophecy never throughout all eternity has ever contradicted God's law or God's word. And a piece that we often forget, the prophets were always known as prayers. If you were known as a prophet, you were likewise, and as foundationally known as one who prayed. You think of Moses. Moses was a prophet, but he was also a massive prayer. He was the one that would go to God and pray on behalf of the people. At the conclusion of the golden calf incident, what did Moses do but turn around and call upon God's grace for God's people? He was... yes, a prophet, one who spoke. He was, in one sense, a quintessential prophet who spoke the law of God. But in another sense, he was the one who prayed for God's people. So that was a piece of what it meant to be a prophet. Now, what else do we know about prophecy in Scripture?
Well, in the Old Testament canon, we have a lot of examples of prophets. But we also have examples of false prophets.
Yeah.
what's going on there and what made them a false prophet and what was the punishment for being a false prophet.
The scary thing is if you look across the whole gamut of Scripture, one could make the argument rather easily that there were numbering more false prophets than there were true prophets. So there was the majority of prophets who came forward were false. And a false prophet is someone who's not speaking God's word or speaking untruth about God. And as you alluded, the punishment for that was death. You were to test the prophet, and if his word was untrue, stone him. And these are harsh, harsh words. But the idea and the claim of prophet was something that the Old Testament saints saw around them often, but there were very few who were real, true prophets speaking for God. And in the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, we see a litany of false prophets speaking untruths to the kings, king after king after king.
Seems like they were instrumental, these false prophets were instrumental in leading Israel astray.
Yeah.
So the office of prophet is something to not take lightly.
No, right. Ironically, in God's providence, which we talked about in a previous podcast, the act of the false prophecy was God's way of moving in Israel. So they ironically were trying to speak untruth about God. No, God is going to save you, when in reality he wanted them to go through the exile. Yeah.
So from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there's about a 400-year period. And in that 400-year period, we don't know of...
I'm nodding, just so you know.
Yeah, Tony's agreeing.
In a yes nod.
Yep. The prophet seems to be gone.
Yeah.
And then there's a transition into the New Testament. And two figures in the New Testament are instrumental in our understanding of prophecy or prophet today. Who are those two?
The first that is very clearly in the lineage or in the line of Old Testament prophet was John the Baptist. In fact, Scripture indicates that he was the prophet Ezekiel come back. Though he may not have recognized it, that's what Scripture deems him as.
We know that he was speaking on behalf of the Spirit as the Old Testaments, because he was indwelled with the Spirit even before.
That's right.
Even while in the womb.
That's right. And John the Baptist came with the same message the Old Testament prophets came with. There was judgment to come, and we need repentance. We need to repent. This was his message, and he was the prophet who was going to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the curved paths. And this is what he did. He proclaimed the coming of the king.
And then, so
he would be the first prophet, really, that we see in the New Testament, and what I would argue personally, the final prophet in the New Testament would be that of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when Jesus walks up to John the Baptist to be baptized and to begin his ministry, it's like a passing of, okay, here's the final prophet.
John has proclaimed the coming of, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and Jesus comes and the Spirit descends, and we have this grand moment.
So as Christ was the final high priest, and we learn that in the New Testament, he is the true king, the Davidic king, we learn that in New Testament, we also believe that he's the final prophet.
Yeah. He is the fulfillment of these three offices, these Old Testament offices that were instrumental in the spiritual health of Israel. It was the prophet, the priest, and the king. In fact, anyone listening should memorize that. Jesus was the fulfillment to the kingship. There would be no Christian today who would argue that there should be another king. He is the fulfillment of the priesthood. There ought to be no Christian who would truly argue, that there ought to be another priest. And likewise, he is the fulfillment of the prophet. He is the one, he is the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so he is the high point of the prophetic ministry throughout Scripture. Now, there are moments after Christ where people prophesy, but this is Christ's work by his Spirit in his people. So there is no one who is gifted as the only prophet, but there are people who can speak on God's behalf because they speak God's word.
Yeah. It's Romans 16:25 yeah. through 26 would be a good place to turn to.
I'm going to read, that's a good point, Chandler. I'm going to read Romans 16 here, and we can see the priesthood or the prophetic office has been given over to Jesus Christ. Verse 25 in chapter 16. Now to him, now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Those long ages was the perhaps a reference to the intertestamental period and the waiting of God's people. They were waiting and waiting. And the revelation of the mystery, it's another allusion to the speaking of God, and the mystery being the gospel, that was kept secret for long ages, has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of eternal God, to the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
So it seems like since Christ has come,
yeah,
the picture that a lot of people get of a prophet, especially Old Testament, that office has been closed.
It's been significantly altered and broadened, in a sense, to all those who behold the Word by his Spirit. And so in this passage, now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, the preaching of Jesus Christ, that would be the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word Jesus Christ. He is the prophetic office displayed for all eternity.
So now there's a spiritual gift, prophecy.
Yeah.
So now that spiritual gift, in a sense, is the ability, the gifting to speak about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And to speak Jesus into people's lives according to the revealed word.
Yeah.
And so that spiritual gift is then revealing the mystery of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, by his
Does that make sense?
Spirit. It does. I'm nodding.
He's nodding.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
Truly, and I just want to say this concluding point, the concept or the office of prophet should be in all of our hearts, should be reserved for Jesus Christ. So
we don't need another.
That's right. We don't. There is no other prophet. Now, there are those who might share Christ's words, but he is the prophet who shares through us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we don't use a title, I am a prophet. That would be, I think, taking the glory away from Jesus, who is the revealed word of God.
So. All right. Excellent.
Yeah. Hope you guys have a blessed week.
Blessings.